So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. To provide updates on the COVID-19 pandemic, Wisconsin Eye is interviewing state officials who are on the front lines of the fight against that pandemic. Kevin A. Carr is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, and I want to thank him for taking time to update us and to talk to Wisconsin Eye. Mr. Secretary, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be with you today.
I really appreciate the update. I want to start with a recent, a statement from Wisdom, which has called for criminal justice reform and the release in the number of inmates, and it praises you and your agency. Let me just walk through that quickly, and I'll have you respond to it. The Wisdom is welcoming the order from Secretary Carr releasing, number one, 1,148 people who were being held on revocation holds. That's point one. Point two, Wisdom is praising the release of an additional 68 people from the Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility. And three, Wisdom is praising your order, ordering the expedited release of everyone eligible for earned release who would be expected to be out in less than a year. Now that totals, Mr. Secretary, more than 1,800, maybe 1,900 inmates. Can you walk me through the process of releasing prisoners, number one, and number two? Are these releases in response to the COVID epidemic, sir?
Okay, first of all, let's address the 1,148 folks that we have dropped holds on.
Okay.
That mainly impacts our partners at the county jail level, sheriffs around this state. Those folks are all nonviolent misdemeanants who were being held on violation of probation holds. And we dropped those holds in order to impact that population specifically. Now, the folks that were released from the Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility, those 60, I believe there were 65, not 68. But
okay, yes, sir.
I'll take the higher number.
I understand.
Were all folks who previously had been held, and an alternative to revocation sanction was placed on them, and they were fulfilling that sanction in custody at the secure detention facility. And we released those individuals because they were nonviolent and not a high risk to public safety.
Okay.
Now, as it relates to the earned release program, we are going through the normal process that we would normally do. We have not discontinued the earned release program or my authority under the statutes to exercise something called certain earned release because of anything to do with COVID-19. In a number of our facilities all around the state, we have limited programming in general to restrict the amount of movement and congregating that was going to take place. But we have not discontinued those two programs because they have great potential to lower our population and to get people back into their communities.
So these three reductions in the number of inmates, sir, which by my count, I think you estimated that the earned release is about 750, sir. Do I have that number right?
Between 700 and 750 people are released on the earned release program.
So the 1,148, and then we'll take the higher number, the 68, and then the 750, total of 1,986. Would this be a reduction then in the 23,045 that adult inmates that DOC had as of 1 week ago? That comes from your website, sir.
All of those numbers are accurate, but I don't want to mislead our viewers, okay? The 1,148 folks where holds were dropped, many of those may have never made it into state custody because they were misdemeanors.
Okay.
So, the only folks that we hold in federal custody, I mean, in our facilities at DAI, our Division of Adult Institutions, are convicted felons.
I see.
So that has a really significant impact at the local level for the sheriffs, as I previously said.
Okay. Let's talk about the overall picture, Mr. Secretary. How has this health emergency changed DOC's operating procedures to protect, number one, your staffers? You got more than 10,000, and as of last week, 23,000 adult inmates. So can you give me the big picture changes as a result of the health epidemic?
Sure. You know, early on in March, we discontinued family visits to minimize the number of people coming into the facilities across the state that would possibly be transmitting the virus. And we've suspended non-professional and non-essential visits. We've suspended most of the programming in our facilities, with the exception, as I stated earlier, of the EARN Release Program and the Challenge Incarceration Program, because those two programs also have the possibility of releasing folks from custody. We suspended work release for all of our folks that were in our minimum security facilities that were accessing the community for work release, to minimize, again, the potential that they could bring the virus back into one of our facilities. We've suspended interfacility transfers and non-essential internal transfers and admission to the state prisons by the local counties on a temporary basis. And we've also suspended staff travel and training. And in our Division of Community Corrections, which is probation and parole, we have suspended most face-to-face contact, and we're utilizing technology for our folks to work from home and to conduct their supervision activities of their clients, using technology.
And these changes were ordered because of fears that in such confined spaces as prisons and such close quarters, your agency runs a pretty big risk, doesn't it, sir, of the virus expanding?
Yes, we do. You know, it's well known that because of overcrowding and our confined spaces, that we have many challenges that we have to deal with when it comes to dealing with any sort of pandemic. But I would want to reassure your viewers that the Department of Corrections has had pandemic plans that are continuously updated for many, many years prior to my arrival. You may recall that there was the avian flu and the swine flu, and those are previous situations that the department has had to plan for and deal with. And we have plans that tend to cover almost every contingency that we need to be prepared to deal with.
Now, you said that visits by inmates, family members, and relatives were suspended as of March. Do I have that right, Mr. Carr?
That's correct.
And that is still ongoing, correct?
That's correct.
And you do not have an end date for that suspension of visitors and relatives and loved ones, correct?
No, not at this time, because, this is a fast evolving situation that, the dynamics of which change almost daily, sometimes hourly. And, based on the information that we're getting from our partners at the Department of Health Services and the CDC, I think it's been well publicized that the next 2 to 3 weeks could be fairly significant in what the long-term trajectory of this pandemic is going to take.
Well, given the suspension on visits, I want to ask a question asked by an email that Wisconsin I got. What assurance can you give loved ones of inmates that their safety is being protected? And that was a question that was asked by a loved one in an email to Wisconsin I, sir.
Well, I would like to hopefully, and I don't know if I'll be successful in reassuring the family and friends and all of your viewers of this, that the Department of Corrections has at its utmost priority the safety and security of the folks that we care for. Not only the folks that we care for, but our staff as well. We are doing everything that we reasonably can do to try to minimize exposure to the virus to the folks in custody and provide them with the necessary care should they become infected. We have at most of our facilities 24/7 healthcare services. Most people at home that are suffering from this condition, they don't have that. So we are constantly monitoring all of the folks in custody for signs, for flu-like symptoms that might indicate that they are, at least showing signs that they might have the virus. And then we are treating them appropriately, whether it's through isolation, quarantine, or providing them with medical care as appropriate. I would like to point out that since yesterday, we have 66 individuals in our care that have been tested with one positive test, and that just occurred yesterday. Of those 66 tests that were given to the folks in our care, 42 were negative, and 23 are pending, and like I said, we just had our first positive test yesterday.
Was that first positive a staff member, a guard, or a inmate? Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, it was a person in our care.
Okay, but what about the number of staff members now? Have there been three positives or more than that, Mr. Secretary?
There has been 9 staff members throughout the Department of Corrections who have self-reported that they were positive for COVID-19.
And what's the protocol once a staff member tests positive, sir?
Once a staff member tests positive and they notify us of that fact, we follow the guidance that has been provided by the Department of Health Services and CDC regarding requiring that individual to self-quarantine for 14 days, and once they have shown that they're symptom-free, they're allowed to return to the workplace.
And the one inmate that now tests positive just as of yesterday, what safety precautions are now in place as a result of that positive test, sir?
That one individual has been placed in isolation and has minimal contact with any other persons in custody, and all the staff that are interacting with that individual are provided with the appropriate PPE in order for them to manage dealing with that individual.
Can you tell us which facility this inmate was serving time at when she or he was tested positive, male?
Yes, that was at Columbia Correctional Institution.
Columbia. And is there an attempt to trace, that's the term, trace other inmates that now positive inmate has interacted with, and guards? Is there tracing going on at Columbia?
Yes, there is.
Okay. I worked up a graphic just to help talk about the dimension of the issues that you deal with. So the DOC has 10,200 staff members. And first question, how many of them have been tested?
We don't know the answer to that question because, number one, most of those individuals would have been tested by their private health care providers, and they have no obligation to tell us if they tested negative for the virus. The only people that really have an obligation to tell us the test results are those who have tested positive, and there have been 9 of those.
9 of those. Okay, going back to the summary, as I said a week ago, DOC had 23,045 adult inmates, 21,577 of males, 1,468 females. Have very many female inmates been tested, sir?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. Any estimate of the number of male inmates that have been tested?
No, I just know that the total number of folks in custody that have been tested is 66.
Okay. Thank you very much. I understand, and I appreciate that. I was intrigued from your website, the number of inmates in maximum security facilities, 6,094. Two of those prisons were built in the 1800s, sir, Green Bay and Waupun, right? Does the age of those facilities hurt your ability to keep inmates in those two maximum prisons safe?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I know that obviously the physical structure of those two facilities being more vertical than horizontal presents special challenges, but I'm very confident in our ability to keep all the folks in our care safe during this pandemic.
Okay, then the number of inmates that are in medium security, 11,767. The number in minimum security, 3,889. Is it harder or easier to keep inmates safer when they're in medium or minimum prisons?
That's an interesting question. In my opinion, I don't think that there is a real significant difference in our ability to manage the folks' healthcare needs under any of the conditions that exist at a medium compared to a minimum or maximum.
Okay. And then one other number that you alluded to earlier, the number on supervised probation and parole, 66,700, excuse me. And go back over the changes that have been made as a result of the health crisis, sir, with those.
Okay. Well, as it relates to the folks on community supervision, all the offices are closed to the public. And the Department of Corrections has suspended most face-to-face contact visits between agents and their clients. To meet these goals, we're using technology to maintain contact standards through the use of video applications. Now, that's not to say that some situations may require some face-to-face contact, and these situations include meetings with clients that don't have access to technology, and home visits and residence investigations and the like that will facilitate the release of folks from our prison system.
Now, you and DHS officials, excuse me, have said the next 2 weeks are critical. Your agency does contingency planning. If there is a significant worsening of COVID-19 in our prison system, in our correction system, what contingency plans are you considering? And you and I hope they don't happen, but what contingency plans are being worked out?
No, we have emergency bed management plans that we can implement at any given moment to reallocate our bed management plans so that folks that need to be isolated can be isolated within the confines of the facilities that we operate. We have plans that we can access at any moment should we need additional bed space, but those plans would not involve taking folks out of the secure perimeter of our facility.
Would not involve taking folks out of the perimeters of your prisons, correct?
That's correct.
That's an important point. I just wanted to come back to it. Let's talk about the guards. Now, you and I know, because we've discussed it in our first interview, that there was a pay boost for the guards, but that was before the COVID crisis. So let me ask you, did the pay boost for the guards result in filling some of these vacancies at our prisons?
You know, actually, if you're looking at the compensation plan that went into effect at the beginning of the year, our staffing hiring level has been somewhat stable.
Okay.
Our vacancy rate is currently at around 16% or so. And, you know, I don't think that the compensation plan increase appreciably impacted our hiring level in a positive way. And that's due to pre the pandemic, the economy was extremely good and yes. the unemployment rate was extremely low. So, you know, we still had challenges when it came to finding enough folks to help us close that vacancy gap. But I will say this, we are hiring right now. You know, we have plans to try to move forward with hiring during the pandemic in order to fill some of the vacant positions that we have to lower our vacancy rate. And I guess that's all I can tell you about.
I understand, but has the COVID-19 crisis, has that hurt your ability to staff from a guard standpoint? Are you seeing just as many guards working, pulling double shifts?
Well, yeah, you know, most of our folks are still working in the same staffing patterns now that they were working at prior to the pandemic. Now, I really want to take this opportunity to praise the frontline people at the Department of Corrections, because every day I have two meetings with our Emergency Operations Center where they report on the staffing issues throughout the agency. And I can only tell you that our staffing levels are extremely good. In fact, I almost think they're better than they were pre the pandemic. Our staff is really stepping up and showing up for work every day that they're supposed to in order to help us meet this challenge. And I couldn't be prouder of the folks that are working in this agency every single day to serve the public and to help us accomplish our mission.
Okay, I realize you have another time commitment. So just two questions, if you'll indulge me.
What time you need?
Thank you very much, sir. So if I am an inmate, my life has changed significantly since March. No visitors, and some of these programs, many of the programs, the counseling, is there less exercise, less IOTA counseling? So my life as an inmate, the life of an inmate has changed significantly as a result of the COVID threat?
That's correct. The life has changed significantly for all of us.
Good point.
And it's something that we have to do in order to keep people safe and to save lives. I would hate to not do something that could save any life whatsoever. So, you know, if we have to, all of us, whether we're in custody or not, all of us have certain things that we may be uncomfortable with that we do not like to do right now, but it's for the greater good.
The ban on admissions, does that create a significant backlog eventually if this goes on for 3 or 4 months, Mr. Secretary?
You know, because the courts are shut down for the most part.
True.
I don't think so. But, you know, when the governor issued Executive Order 9, which, you know, which stopped the admission from local county jails, I've been meeting with the Badger State Sheriff's Association every week to discuss the impact of that order and how we can work together to help each other, not only at the state level, but at the local level, to mitigate its impact.
Final question. The governor has said he has asked state agencies, report back to me what additional resources, equipment, money they need to cope with the COVID crisis. What has DOC in the process of reporting to the governor in terms of additional needs? Is it more GPR cash? Is it more PPE equipment? What do you need to cope with this?
Both of the things that you mentioned.
How significantly short are you on, is DOC on PPE?
Well, You know, we were just having a discussion this morning about that. We do have some supply of masks. We're short on gowns for our healthcare providers, but we have made requests through the state EOC in order to receive additional reinforcement supplies in those areas.
So DOC, in the response to the COVID crisis, is doing pretty well, average, or you hope to see some bigger improvements in the immediate future, sir?
Well, I would answer that this way, Steve. You know, I belong to a group of folks in my position from all around the country, and I constantly stay abreast of what's happening in Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, in the Midwest. And I'm very pleased to report that most of the things that we're doing here in Wisconsin are what other corrections professionals are doing all around this country. And I'm not going to say that we're doing well or very well or anything like that. We're doing what we need to do in order to get the job done.
Kevin Carr is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. It's an agency charged with keeping 10,000 staff members and 23,000 adult inmates safe. Mr. Carr, I want to thank you on behalf of our viewers for giving us an update of what the agency is doing to keep those in your care safe. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me today.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.